here, which is item 17, miscellaneous and meeting debrief. And this is the opportunity for the commissioners to just kind of think about what we've heard and any other ideas about us, basically. So, commissioners, it is open. Yes, Commissioner Keeney.
Thank you. And I think at this item, we're also going to approve the, year's agenda.
It would be great. It's been before us now for several months, and it would be most helpful if we could take a look at it. Hopefully, we've already taken a look at it and get it approved because, as you know, getting meeting space, especially when we travel, here we were hearing it needs to be a year in advance. So, you know, if we can get this done, then Tammy can start working on meetings for 2018.
So I'd like to make a motion to approve.
Can I just say one thing?
Yes.
As far as the March meeting, the preference from staff is that we move it to the 16th and 17th. Now, I know that's a conflict for Commissioner Grayville, right? The preference of staff is simply because, you know, all of the hunting stuff is turned in, so then they are able to put forward the next year's hunting stuff at a little bit later date and to get it approved at the April meeting.
Well,
how about the 23rd, 24th? Is that viable, or is that too late?
It just gives them only a two-week turnaround from A to B.
And remember, it will be the three-year pamphlet, so this is the
big year.
I think Commissioner Grayville and I had discussed a little to possibly hold that meeting, one of our away meetings in eastern Washington, possibly Wenatchee, so it would be very important for him to be there. That's a great opportunity for the hunters on the east side to participate.
Right.
And we did that last year. We typically hold the March meeting in Spokane or Moses Lake. This year, we held the decision meeting over there to allow West Side hunters and folks to have input during the briefing public hearing time. It doesn't matter to me. I'm just bringing up what
So the point is, March and April are important months in terms of the hunting regulations. We are briefed, fine-tuned in March. In April, we approve. The approach has mostly been to hold the hearing, the public input piece in eastern Washington in March, but we did reverse that. It is important for at least one of those meetings to be in eastern Washington to allow both sides to have an opportunity. We need to be really clear which is which, though, because hunters do like to have their input during that March meeting.
The second and third. I mean, staff will just have to get it. You know, they'll have to get it done.
What about March 9 and 10?
I think the director is gone. I don't know if it's PFMC. Something is that week, and I don't recall what it was.
Is it PFMC or
the final PFMC would be April. I mean, for purposes north of Falcon. There could be another meeting in, you know, kind of the preliminary PFMC meeting. And I see the director is the director.
So if the 9th and 10th is available, would that work well for everyone else? Okay. And if not, is the 2nd, 3rd, or 16th, 17th the preference for the commission?
The 16th, 17th, I would not be available.
And I would kind of prefer, I guess, that for you to be available in that meeting to be in Wenatchee as the time when we get the most public input before a decision from Eastern Washington hunters.
So I think we should stay with the 2nd and 3rd of March. Is that what we're saying?
Or 9th and 10th if it's available.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I can adjust my schedule around the 9th and 10th.
Okay.
But I'll be out of the country.
Commissioner Commissioner Baker?
Rookie question. Are we stuck with Fridays and Saturdays? What about a Sunday and Monday? If we could accommodate, if the staff are sending a message that this is going to really press them, then I think we should try to accommodate that. But I also totally agree that that you are a important participant, especially if the meeting is in your territory. So if we're, and so I would prefer to go to the 9th and 10th. Okay, I would still prefer to go to the 9th and 10th, but I would also prefer for us to be a little flexible once in a while and possibly look at meeting on a different day.
Deputy Director Storr.
Yeah, a suggestion. Let's take a look at the 9th and 10th to try to make that work. If not, default to the 2nd and 3rd, and we'll just have that happen. And Commissioner Baker, I know the director would like to talk about alternatives to the current Friday, Saturday. So maybe during the course of this next year, I mean, let's get this calendar settled.
Yeah.
And then during the course of this next year, let's have that discussion.
Yeah, it has come up, you know, maybe if we ever get our retreat.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we can discuss it, yeah.
And then we're also, I'm sorry, Don, this will be, we're also proposing this meeting take place in Wenatchee in March, too.
Okay.
That would be in a way.
All right. Any other changes on the calendar that we want to suggest?
Other than determining, I'm sorry, Don,
I keep interrupting you. potential away destinations. Do we have any suggestions or ideas?
Okay.
I'd rather let Commissioner McIsaac speak.
Commissioner McIsaac. Sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. No, that's fine. That was the exact question I was going to ask. It looked like we're on the verge of a motion here. And if there's a kind of a protocol to have four out-of-town meetings, and I'm looking at what happened this year, I just wanted to put out there for discussion, what about the other out-of-town meetings? Obviously, this meeting here in Port Angeles, I think, was a strong success with regard to public input and a very positive thing. I see constantly in all my new reading materials how the commission is the link between the public and the department's implementation of things. So I don't know how often you want to go back to the same town, but the town of Port Angeles seems a very good place to me to be on the list for next year. Then I just had an open question to the group of whether you indeed do jump around to other cities. Last year I see Vancouver and Clarkston on there. And
Spokane.
Moving things around always, I think, seems to be a good idea a little bit.
I would turn to Deputy Director. We always ask, and this is a year of kind of budget crunch than we've been dealing with. That is one of the issues with traveling. Does four seem a little excessive with what we're doing? Four out of Olympia for next year, and maybe cut back at least one, or what would be your
Well, my, I mean, just this is ballpark, but I think the extra costs per meeting is, you know, it's $3,000 to $4,000 extra per meeting. So, in the big picture, you know, that's not a huge thing. It's maybe as much an optics issue as anything, but I think if the commission wanted to do four out of, you know, if we have 10 meetings a year and you're doing four of them out of Olympia, that's probably doable.
Commissioner's okay with that? Yeah. Commissioner McIsaac?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I strongly speak in favor of at least four out of town. I think this is, again, one of our primary purposes here, and having people drive to Olympia from the four corners of the state is a challenge to the public.
Yes, Commissioner Keeney.
One comment, and then I think I'm ready for a motion. But I would maybe suggest, after hearing this last presentation, that We might want to consider Walla Walla or some area in that vicinity.
Tri-Cities.
It might even coincide with some of the, Yakima, some of the decisions that might we might be moving forward with some of the Upper River Columbia policy. You know, that might be a suggestion. But I think maybe we can make a motion and decide some of those locations at another time. But to approve this calendar, I'd like to make a motion to approve the 2018 calendar as written with a change to the March meeting of 9th, 10th, and as a backup, 2nd and 3rd, in Wenatchee for that meeting.
Okay. Could I suggest perhaps a little addition, and that is that in scheduling the out-of-town meetings, we'd like to on the east side, two on the west side, and sort of give it to Tammy to work out what would be the best.
I'll give some info and provide those options for the dates.
So, are you okay to add that rambling piece to this motion?
Sure.
Yeah.
No, that's fine.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Right alert there. Thank you. Any further discussion? All those in favor of that rambling motion, please say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Great. Okay, Tammy. So, further debrief.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. By the way, you did a great job. Thanks for volunteering to fill in. I must say, I really enjoyed the trip out to the Elwha dam site, former dam site. It was quite interesting, and really appreciated the perspectives from staff as well as our hosts, the folks from the Lower Elwha tribe. There was one bit of testimony, public testimony, that I found very interesting, and that had to do with the disposition of lands that the federal government acquired as part of the project, and that under the enabling statute, there was some references or provisions about giving the land or getting disposing of the land, and I just talked with Deputy Director, and he had flagged that as well. But I just thought I'd bring it up. I don't think we need a blue sheet necessarily, but I think it's worth exploring to see kind of what actually what the statute says, where other agencies have been involved, state agencies. It seems to me it would be a great opportunity for WDFW to work with Clallam County officials, the Lower Elwha, and kind of explore that as a possibility, at least learn more about it, and then so that we can make an informed decision whether to proceed. So,
thank you.
Just a note, the gentleman left me all of the documents he was referencing, so I have the map and the report and all the stuff that he discussed.
Great, thank you. So, Deputy Commissioner from Kaiser.
Thank you for deputizing me.
Yes.
Here's your badge.
Yeah. There we go. Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and also want to give my compliments to you for doing an excellent job behind the gavel and jumping in a state of emergency for us here almost. I had a few comments on future meeting agendas, and then also wanted to make a couple of discussion points on the committee structure business that we talked about a little bit earlier. First, on the matter of agendas, a question about how to deal with the public testimony ideas that came forward at this meeting. We had three different times where we were asking for comments about things not on the agenda, which makes one feel like they could be suggestions to be agenda items. And we just heard one suggestion there also a moment ago. We heard from some of the guides and some of the other folks something about some sort of limited entry system for guiding. We heard quite a bit about halibut. We heard some public testimony about hatchery production in a couple of local rivers, and there were some other things there. So the question about do these warrant any future agenda item or not, and if so, when might that be, come to mind? With regard to the October agenda, what to expect in October is something that I thought maybe I'd try to encourage some discussion about here at this table, so that not only just us as commissioners, but also the public could get an idea of what to expect for the October meeting. This last time, the agenda for this meeting became finalized, or I think initiated, as far as, again, I'm a new guy here, maybe there's other ways to find out about it, but it was about a week before the meeting occurred. And so for the public who have to wonder whether or not they're going to drive to Port Angeles and they don't even know what's on the agenda until a week before the meeting, there's some difficulty to that. And for a new commissioner trying to understand how the world works, not knowing what's on the agenda until a week before and not getting the background materials until a couple of days before does make it a little bit difficult for me to prepare for good decision making. So I was wondering about, after I'm done here, hearing from you all about and staff about what to expect for the October meeting. Now, there may be some blue sheets in queue, and I just learned about what a blue sheet was for the first time, the last 24 hours. There was discussion here about the director's performance plan being an October meeting. So, anyway, some sort of notice to the public would be useful, I think. And if there was some discussion here now, and then maybe on the October 6th conference call, a draft agenda, which could still be modified if the staff comes up with something that ought to be on the October agenda the week before or whenever the time when things can be finalized, that door ought to be open. But again, I'm looking toward what's going to be the most easiest for the public who are trying to follow what is going to happen in October. With regard to future agendas, when we just put this into a final form, I think that adds a lot of solidity and stability to what to think about for planning. But I wondered if there might be also a step in here where we could display some sort of draft idea about what would happen in the next year at a glance, so to speak. For example, Mr. Twight's excellent presentation here earlier, when we talked about when might we think about the next step, he said, well, maybe about a year from now or so. So if there was something in here that had that one could look at and say, well, next September, October, or November, here's a placeholder. It's just a placeholder, but just as an idea that we're going to hear more about the Columbia River Spring Chinook allocation business. I just heard about the wildlife thing being a big meeting in March, and I had no idea that was true. So maybe there's others out in the public that don't know that either. So anyway, just as an idea here, if there was a way of displaying on a calendar as some sort of a planning tool, not to be ironclad or anything, but just when you look at these things, to sprinkle out what are some big things that are coming. We had a strategic plan agenda item this week that included some reports back to the legislature on budget matters that seemed to me to be something that the commission might want to have some policy decision-making about in terms of if there's priorities for cuts, for example, or there's priorities for new ideas. And they say May and the fall of 2018. And so if we could maybe just encourage staff to do some thinking about when those would show up, would that be April of next year? Would that be March of next year? Or in the fall, what would it be? And when would it come before the commission? So just some thoughts from me about trying to enhance my ability and maybe the public's ability to know what's coming. And so maybe, Madam Chair, I'll hold my discussion committee. For committee structure as yes. a separate
thing. Yeah. So, Deputy Director, do you?
Yeah, thanks, Commissioner McIsaac. I think you probably made Tammy's day by encouraging some proactive thinking about all this. Mm-hmm. There's a number of things that go on now, and maybe I could just lay out how we think about some of these things now and what we're doing now, and then we can look for improvements or other needs that you might have. So you'll see me sitting here as we go through taking notes, and I do that at every meeting, and Tammy's doing the same thing. And what we do after each meeting, well, before each meeting, we do a preview of the agenda to look at do we have everything we need on there? Do we have appropriate time? Do we have staff lined up? And Tammy's sending out draft agendas to the commission, as they're developed over time. But we try to finalize a week or so before the meeting. So there's a final does come out that's built on a series of drafts. We have the public input at the meetings. What we'll do after each meeting is we have a download where we'll get significant staff from all the programs in the room, and we'll either, Halbert came up over and over again, and Ron Warren was in the room, so what we would do in that instance is take this issue of the Halbert season proposal and make sure the FISH program has that front and center as they're putting together their drafts, for this November decision. My sense is this meeting is going to stimulate a lot of thought about do we have the right proposal out there, just as an example. But we would come back from the meeting and make sure that's on the FISH program's plate. We would look at the issue that Commissioner Keel brought up. I have that starred as something to follow up on, so we can come back to the commission and say we took a look at Mr. Bevin's comments, and here's what we found. So we would go through a number of these, and it's a little bit arbitrary in terms of what I star and what I don't star. So if the commission has a particular desire, it's very helpful, and I would really encourage blue sheets. Sort of certify the priority in terms of the information you need from us, and puts it in the queue so it doesn't get lost as time goes by. So I really would ask you to think hard about blue sheets. But we
for tracking too. I mean, it really helps if you have specific needs for a presentation or a briefing. It helps staff rather than us trying to relay what we heard. Have the details.
Rosemary Dean came forward with a kind of a quiet concern about firearm use in GMU 624. Yeah. I'm going to go back and I'm going to ask the wildlife program to give Ms. Dean a call and talk more about that and see if there's something that we can either put into our rulemaking process, et cetera. So just know that there's some of that follow-up that goes on. Knowing what the commission wants to hear about via blue sheets or just an informal request, as Commissioner Kehoe just made, would be helpful. And if we need something to kind of close out that feedback loop that's more formal, we should talk about that, because it's a little, honestly, it's a little loose at times in terms of how we come back to you outside of a blue sheet and say, we did follow up, we did do something with this. So there's that.
Before you go on, as you're looking through your notes, Deputy Director, what this discussion raises to me, and I'm putting before the commissioners, is it seems to me that there's kind of a formal step that's missing. I mean, we have this debrief period, and often you know, we're kind of getting out and everything, and not a lot happens. Sometimes one of us will raise something that came up in testimony or something like that. But I'm wondering if it wouldn't be helpful to the commission and the staff who are taking the notes and everything to actually build into debrief a discussion of some of the things that we noticed in the public testimony. It doesn't give the immediate feedback to the public who brought the testimony to us, because most of them aren't here by then. But it would then be kind of a check, okay, this is what the commission heard. How is it matching with what staff is doing? And just really build that into our agenda. Yes, Commissioner Keating.
Thank you. I like that idea. I think to make it efficient, the right way to do that, because this has gone, all the years I've been here, I mean, I trust that Joe's taking notes, and he is.
Yes.
And I trust he's going to take care of the things we heard from the public. But a better process would be, I think, that in this debrief session, Joe lets us know where he's going to direct, you know, from his input from the public, where he's headed with that. And then, for instance, if we see something missing, so, yes, he quickly went through his list, and I didn't hear, you know, is there anything going to be done about the guide's request?
Yeah, that wasn't my whole list.
Right. But if that doesn't pop out of Joe's report in the brief, then I would, that was a concern of mine. Joe, what about that? So we bring that back up. That way we're not rehashing every issue. We want to know where this is going.
Yeah.
And if we don't hear what we think is important from the public in that list, we can talk about that.
Yes, and Commissioner Grable.
Madam Chair, I think, you know, this is a very good way to publicly acknowledge that we heard from the public and are considering their concerns, and this is what we're going to do to follow up. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate what Joe's doing at every meeting, keeping very close track, taking those copious notes. And I'm like, Jay, I know he's doing it over there, but to review those notes and our concerns and publicly acknowledge that there will be follow-up should be part of our proceedings every time.
Yeah, and not to put aside the blue sheet, which I think is a very important process. It sometimes feels a little bit like it's an individual, even though we vote on the blue sheets, it's an individual commissioner's specific interest, and I think we do need to make sure that all the commission is on board. I think Commissioner Baker. Okay, Commissioner Keeney.
Sorry. I'd like to add, too, to thank Commissioner McIsaac, because sometimes you get set in your ways, you think everything's rolling along, like this, everything's great. But, you know, just the smallest thing like this can really help change things, you know. And so the public perception that they were heard, because we're hearing back at that meeting what's going to be done about it, you know, or what path's going to be followed, and then us to have a chance to comment if we think that's great. It's great. You know, it's a great idea that, you know, we get new people on the commission and we come up with some good changes.
Mr. Vick here.
This has also been on my mind, and so I also really like to hear this conversation and like the outcome. The only reservation is that there are things that perhaps are small things that pique our individual interest.
Yes.
Which I wouldn't want the public, the people who took the time to come talk to us, feel that their concerns were being not considered if it isn't something that rises to the top of the whole commission's interest. And for instance, for me, I'm going to call Joe after this meeting and ask him why we're tagging American Dippers, why we're banning those things. And that might not be a big follow-through for all of us, but I was interested, and I'm going to find out why. And then if it's something that could rise to our attention, I'd bring it up at a future meeting. So so anyway, my point is that there are going to be smaller things that interest all of us individually, and I wouldn't want our debrief and conclusion to preclude us.
Yeah. Commissioner McIsaac, you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So with regard to the October agenda, Joe, I wondered if you had other things that were on your mind. I don't want to press you that you don't have your list in front of you or anything like that. the halibut thing you mentioned does come to mind, and you know, I think where does the commission role for a policy decision making thing come into play? It might be useful for a little review of that in October. You know, the IPHC has been managing halibut now since 1925 or something like that. It's the supreme example of an international success. It might be the only good example of an international body that has managed a long-lived species like halibut so successfully. And, you know, there's still a lot of halibut around after all these years. That's a very good thing. The council plays a role in some allocations to make sure that, you know, Oregon and California and Washington are all considered. But there is a situation where the state of Washington has to decide on what are the fishing seasons out there outside the window. And and if that's supposed to be October or maybe it's January, I'm not sure when the right time is. But if it happens to be October, I guess maybe that would be a candidate issue. And Joe, just a couple of other things and get a reaction from you. How you feel about on October 6th and a conference call providing something in writing that would just be, again, a draft tentative agenda. And as an agenda item to add to the October meeting, this time number 17 has 2018 meeting dates. What if under the debrief we not only heard from you about what you hear from public testimony, but we added a draft agenda for the November or December meeting? I guess November is a conference call. Anyway, a draft agenda for the next meeting that we would have in front of us to take a look at. And again, just a tentative draft thing early enough on that people understood is very malleable and all the rest of that. So I wonder if you'd give a reaction to those three things.
I think you were going to sort of generally talk about agenda development in response to note that. And also, just to follow up on Commissioner Baker's comment, some of the things that you were noting are staff, in response to some of the public testimony, are staff responses. And I think, you know, that would be really helpful for us to help differentiate, you know, and you're alluding to it, Commissioner McIsaac, commission role versus, hey, we've heard this, we're handing it to the fish program or whatever to follow up on. So I just wanted to make that observation, but go ahead and talk a little bit about agenda. And
well, just first, I really appreciate and like the idea about using this kind of time on the agenda to make sure we're all together in mm-hmm. terms of what's on the to-do list. And I think it would be easy to bring the October, in this case, agenda to this portion of the meeting and do a preview of that. Tammy has an October agenda drafted. Do you share that, Tammy, with just the chair, or does everybody see that?
It's usually the chair. Certainly anybody, we could share it with everybody, but preferably after the staff meets at preview, which is Tuesday. So on Tuesday this next week, staff meets, debriefs, and talks about the next meeting. And right now we've already got 20 items on the October agenda. That's without adding what we talked about today. Just a heads up.
I mean, Tammy's actively building agendas into the future, and perhaps what we need to do is share that beyond just the chair so that the full commission can see that evolution and bring forward new ideas like the IPHC or this notion about when commissioners engage in policy. I think those are both great topics. The calendar year to date, she also does that and shares that with But we only do it, we share it maybe twice a year.
That's how we base the dates that we just decided on. You know, we kind of have placeholders for all of these items, and of course, lots of stuff comes up every meeting that we add. But I can share that, you know, on Monday. I'd be glad to send that out to all of you.
I think it'd be useful to get it to the full commission, and just so people are aware and can
It seems to me, even though, you know, this agenda is probably going to come out of Tuesday a little bit different, maybe trimmed or whatever, to see that, to give us kind of a heads up even before the Tuesday meeting, so that maybe it's in our books or something, and then we can react. If, for example, there's a moderate priority blue sheet briefing that's on the schedule and these other things have come up, we could say, well, you know, we can push that briefing down the road or something like that, and just have a little input ourselves. Yeah.
Thank you. One of the things, too, it really helps for me to prepare if I have more than a week. If there's an issue or a topic that I'd like to consult mm-hmm. with staff about yeah. or another commissioner in relating to a blue sheet or something, then it gives me more time to prepare instead of just a week's notice.
Yeah, I think that's where we're coming.
My typical goal is to have the agenda out 2 weeks in advance.
Yes. Yes.
That's the typical goal. The 2 weeks, the Friday,
Right.
Yeah.
That's reasonable.
It's really great that you're all having this discussion because hopefully staff will be prompted again to get us stuff timely. So it's helpful, I think.
Yeah, it's always a challenge with some yeah. of these issues that are developing rapidly.
Yeah.
But we need to keep pushing on that. Mm-hmm. The other piece I would ask I'll just make a note. In the past, we've done this. In the debrief, we have talked about public comment, we've talked about agendas, and then the discipline around all that sort of erodes, as we get into long meetings and it's Saturday afternoon.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you have to catch flights.
You might want to think about when we do this. It's useful at the end of the meeting because you've heard all the public comment,
right.
But people are tired and
yeah.
I don't know how you all do what you do as volunteers. I appreciate what you do, but yeah. Come Saturday afternoon, people have other lives.
Yeah.
So we need to think about that.
Good point. Yes, Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And with regard to it being useful to us, too, it would be nice to remember that it could be useful to the public as well.
Yes, exactly.
So when I look at October 6th conference call, and the excellent website that's here that has all the materials so the public can see everything that the commissioners are seeing here, if a draft agenda was available then, properly labeled so everybody knows it's a tentative draft, possible, maybe agenda. but if they're inclined to want to travel to Olympia for the meeting on October 27th and 28th, they would at least say, well, they might have this, and maybe they would find out right after the conference call if it's got, real solidity to it or not.
We can do that.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's helpful.
Great.
Except for we might have to cancel the October 6th conference call. Or move it. Just move it a week ahead or a week after. I might be in Mexico.
Oh, might be in Mexico. Great.
You guys can have it without me.
So are we sort of finished with that piece? Do you want to talk about committees, Commissioner McIsaac?
I don't know. Has everybody checked out of their room?
Oh, are we getting
close? We're 10...
Ooh, no, I haven't.
45, so just wanted to
I thought it was
noon.
It's 11, is what I was told when I checked in.
Oh.
Oh.
I was thinking noon, yeah.
So I haven't prepared.
I left all my stuff, too.
That's covered us, I think.
Yeah.
We can get through.
Yeah.
I'll try to be quick. I did ask my wonderful wife to call and ask for a noon checkout today, just in case. I thought we might be late, so... I don't know what the hotel's policy on that is, but I'll just be quick here. This is the matter of the concern about the committee structure being open and transparent to all the public. And I started by saying I have a little concern. It seems a little awkward. I think I know a little bit more about it, but I think we do want the public to feel that we're fully open and transparent. And so... In terms of further discussion on that, not necessarily maybe right now for an urgent thing. But I thought about bringing this up again in October and not in an urgent manner, or it's, I don't think it's a crisis of any sort, but wondered about having as an agenda item in October an initial discussion of just the pros and cons of two options. One option being that the committee meetings would be open to the public and they would be open to other commissioners who are not on the committee to go and not violate a quorum thing because their audience, just like the public is in the audience. And I noticed in our rules of procedure that the committee's business was updated about 10 years ago, and it includes committees are designed to provide a forum that allows for more informal discussions with staff, interested individuals, or groups, which almost sounds kind of like the public. But if there was an option that staff could just list, if they are open, here's how it would work. Here's the pros and cons of it. A con would be, you know, Tammy, you'd have to go find a room somewhere. Another con would be the staff has to spend some more time on it. A pro would be some of the, you know, Open Public Meetings Act things that are out there. Maybe another option is that the meetings remain closed, but there are reports that have to be given at the next commission meeting, so the people that aren't in the room do know the topics that were discussed. So there was a Fish Committee meeting call earlier this week and a Wildlife Committee meeting didn't make it on the agenda this time as to, well, what was talked about, and we don't have time now. But the idea here is then in October to just have an initial discussion of two options. Like I said, it's been about 10 years since this was last updated. And if after further discussion there might be serious consideration of doing something different, that be placed on the December agenda, at which time then the public could comment on whether they what do they think about the committee rules. And if in the meantime, you know, Joe or the director would assign a policy analyst to work up some documents for discussion, it might be kick it further down the road. We have our legal counsel here in the room now who I think ought to be involved in all of that. So it's kind of the idea here is kind of a two-meeting process. One would be an initial discussion in October on a superficial pros and cons level, and if it survives that, then a more serious agenda item with some public comment about it in December. If it doesn't survive, then we have something in writing now that maybe would be viewed as the status quo compared to these two options.
Commissioner Keating.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that's some great ideas, and taking it as an agenda item, if it will fit within the 20 we already have, it deserves that open discussion.
Yes.
And I would suggest, though, there is a third alternative that we should consider, and that is to not have committee meetings at all.
Yeah.
Because at some point, staff talking to four commissioners, which is the way it is now, not in public session, staff talking to maybe four or five or six commissioners open to the public creates more work for everybody. Or the third alternative is just staff talking to us here. I think it's a good discussion to have. And,
yeah.
And from a time commitment standpoint and efficiency, you know, staff has to come to Port Angeles at you know, times or these away sites just to brief the Wildlife Committee. And yet that's not a topic at the full meeting in front of the commission. So, you know, when I got here, there were committees, and you got assigned the ones you didn't want to be on necessarily. But do your time, and you'll get onto the one you like. And that's kind of how it was, you know. And so, and again, I appreciate Commissioner McIsaac bringing new and fresh thought to the process, because we should relook at it. I don't know if you don't remember, but we probably do. You know, the governor, when we made some of those Cougar decisions, it didn't go well that was discussed so thoroughly in committee land, but didn't get thorough review, I don't think, in front of the full commission. So there's some really good ground to do what we're doing, which is to revisit that and be honest about it. Maybe committees don't exist except in an ad hoc manner. You know, there's some other alternatives, but I appreciate that, and I think the idea of an October agenda item and further discussion in December, if we can land on something, is great.
Commissioner Kehoe?
Yeah, thank you. I have a question for Commissioner McIsaac. And, you know, you had a long, distinguished career as the executive director of the Pacific Fishery Management Council. And I know the council has subpanels and which are essentially committees, and they do, I think, you know, largely what our committees have done and work with staff. But are those meetings open to the public then? Is that kind of an open public process? And I do recall that oftentimes it involves a report generated to the full council from the committees. And I mean, maybe just kind of be interested to hear kind of your experience and how that works and whether it might fit at least somehow into our process.
Yeah, so thank you for the question. Yes, in the Pacific Council arena, there are committees, there are standing committees, there are ad hoc committees, and there are sub-panels that are comprised of mostly stakeholder types. There's committees that are, there's technical groups that are composed of scientists and biologists, and but some of the other committees are composed of council members, commission member analogs that can't be enough for a quota or a quorum. But in the audience, the other commission member types often sit in and just listen. When it comes time for that committee to make a recommendation to the full council, they've gone into things in much more depth, and they would make a recommendation. It entails a very short written statement that suffices maybe as minutes to a committee meeting that I think there's a requirement from the Open Public Meetings Act that there be minutes if there is such a meeting. But anyway, the short statement to the whole council suffices for that. One example is the Budget Committee. So not all 14 voting members and 23 members at that table have the inclination or the desire to dig deep into the budget business. And so there's a committee for that that does dig deep in, and in the end, they'll make a recommendation that next year's budget be $5 million and emphasize the following 4 points. And that comes before the full council for a vote. But the budget committee is open to everybody. And I think it does greatly enhance the confidence that the public has in the Pacific Council process. And I've even had people bump into me in the hallways and say, hey, you know, I can remember a Canadian couple, for example. We're not used to this. We don't see this up in British Columbia. It's all behind closed doors up there. We get told what the seasons are going to be. And so we like being able to just walk in and hear the biologists say, we're not sure how many salmon are going to come back from this river, but this is our best guess. And it's particularly when you get into things like allocations, shifting allocations that are, as Bill said, it's a zero-sum game, and you have to take it out of somebody else's pocket to put it into somebody else's pocket. If they can go in and see the discussions on those contentious things in public, then they don't go to the bar that night and tell everybody that there's skullduggery, thievery, and lying and cheating going on, because anybody can walk in there and see exactly what does go on. So it takes a whole element of the opposite of trust, whatever that is, mistrust. It takes a whole element of mistrust away, and anybody who suspects this or that, you just invite them to the meeting and listen. And if they wonder about bighorn sheep, for example, in the park, and what the commission's attitude is about that, if that was ever discussed at a committee meeting, they could have heard the whole thing, and they wouldn't, you know, go spread rumors about what never really happened, you know, that kind of thing. So that does kind of shape my feelings on this and why originally I felt that things were a little bit awkward when I said, well, I'd like to go sit in on the Fish Committee meeting and listen and learn how what happens. And the answer was, no, you can't do that. And not only can't you do that, nobody else can either.
Just trust us. Trust us, Commissioner.
I think we're kind of bumping up on checkout time, so.
We have extra time. Tina went and asked him.
Oh, great.
Told him we were still meeting, and so.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. So thank you for that. Any further discussion? Yes.
I mean, I'd be happy to follow through on Commissioner McIsaac's suggestion to develop some options and work with Bill Freimeyer and the staff to do that.
I think we're all interested in that. Yes, Commissioner Baker.
I fully support that. While we're talking to Mr. Freimeyer, could we get a better understanding of precisely where the limits are on what we can talk about in executive session as well? Because I see I see something beginning here that sounds really good to me, and I'd like to know what all of our options are in terms of communicating.
As something for October.
Great. Whew, what a long agenda.
We're going to pay you a three-day meeting.
I think I'm going to Mexico.
Yes, Commissioner Isaac.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And just on that matter, I don't know if that was a joke that there's 20 things on there already, but obviously if there are, that's another opportunity on October 6th when you call in from Mazatlan. That there be some pruning back to make sure it's a reasonable meeting.
Mm-hmm. Anything further? Well, then I'm at 11, whatever time it is.
Oh, sorry. 10:58.
Oh, 10:58. I will call the September 8th, 9th, 2017 meeting of the Fish and Wildlife Commission adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
And thank you.
For names.